Well, it is a very sad day for our community when a jurist, an elected Supreme Court justice, who was, by all accounts, respected by both the attorneys of our community and his peers, demonstrates that he has betrayed the trust given to him by us. And that is something that is both sad and intolerable. And I commend the Attorney General for taking the action that he took. From my perspective, as I did in January and have continued to do so, I pledge to do everything in my power as acting district attorney to help restore the public trust in our government by cracking down on corrupt politicians. And that's why I created a public integrity unit in this office, the first public integrity unit in the Erie County District Attorney's Office, and proposed a set of common sense ethics reforms for consideration for the Erie County Charter. Today's news is just the latest sad example of corruption eroding public trust in the political and, in this case, judicial process. And it's time for all of us to work together to restore the trust and take power away from the political machine. Do you have any particular questions? I'll do the best I can to answer them.
Tell us what specifically the charges were, what happened in court and all.
The defendant pleaded guilty to two felonies, bribe receiving in the third degree, which is a Class D felony, which in a sense means that he accepted something, a benefit, in exchange for improperly using his influence as a public official, in this case, his influence as a judge. In other words, he agreed to do a function of a Supreme Court justice outside the proper protocol for that, in exchange for a benefit. He also pleaded guilty to offering a false instrument for filing, which is a Class E felony. And I believe that was in relation to, according to his colloquy, him appointing an attorney to act as a receiver in a case outside the bounds of the Office of Court Administration protocol. So he pleaded guilty to two felonies this afternoon. He has entered into a cooperation agreement with the Attorney General, and it's my understanding that their acceptance of his level of cooperation will determine whether the Attorney General comments at the sentencing, which I believe is scheduled for September of this year.
Mike, is bribery still a crime?
Yes.
In light of the Supreme Court case Monday?
That it does throw a wrinkle into it, but the all I can say is that Justice Mikulek, under counsel, pleaded guilty to receiving a bribe. So, in their opinion, it was a crime to plead guilty to.
We've heard a lot of people come to his defense, just in his character. Frank Clark was quoted coming to his defense. What were your dealings with him and your impressions of him?
You know, he, as far as I know, he never had a docket in the criminal courts, so I would know him only to pass him in the hallway. So I am not in a position to comment on his qualities as a jurist or his demeanor on the bench, but I've read the same observations that you have, which I suppose makes it all the more disheartening that somebody who has received praise repeatedly was guilty of undermining the entire judicial process. As a prosecutor, I and my assistants are held to a higher standard, and I believe if you ask any judge, he or she will tell you that the judiciary too should be held to a higher standard from ordinary citizens, and he violated that trust.
Were any names mentioned as to who was on the other end of the transaction? I mean, there's certainly a name floating around.
Yeah, I believe that I believe Mr. Pigeon's name was mentioned as part of the colloquy, but since he has not been charged with a crime, he has not been convicted of a crime, it's premature for me to speculate on what that means.
What's his possible sentence?
For a Class D felony, the maximum sentence would be a term, an indeterminate term of up to 7 years. For a Class D felony, the maximum sentence could be an indeterminate term up to 4 years. They could probably be run consecutively, which means 7 plus 4, were he to get that. Again, all of those sentencing, all those factors which go into sentencing will be considered by Judge Cirio at the appropriate time. And as part of the agreement, the plea, the now former judge has agreed to cooperate with the Attorney General, and in exchange, or part of the bargain, is that he will, in exchange for his cooperation, will affect or influence the sentencing recommendation that the Attorney General makes. But of course, as in all cases other than a negotiated sentence, which this is not a negotiated sentence, is in all those cases, the ultimate decision is left to the sound discretion of the judge.
In your experience, what kind of favor with the court does cooperating get you when it comes to sentencing?
Again, that weighs into, that requires the court to weigh all sorts of factors, and it starts at the beginning from who is the defendant and what is his background, through what is the crime he is convicted of, and did he help solve or render justice in a greater crime. So it's there are many factors which play a part in a court's evaluation. From our perspective, most of our cooperators are usually, you know, violent felons who are either accessories to a particular crime, a robbery, an assault, a murder. So we're talking about exposing them to less state prison as opposed to here. My guess would be that his attorney is going to ask for a non-incarceratory sentence, but I don't want to speak for her or him or anyone else. But again, all those factors play a role in the judge's consideration.
Mike, in your experience, how unusual is this? In other words, how long have you been a lawyer in this area? Have you ever seen a state Supreme Court judge plead guilty to bribery saved in before?
My 23 years, I can't recall this happening. There have been times when lower court judges have been reprimanded for issues not so egregious, but I can't recall a member of the New York State Supreme Court pleading guilty to a felony. And what we mean by Supreme Court, it's an elected position, and it is the highest ranking trial judge in our system. A Supreme Court justice can hear, any type of case, criminal, civil, tax, what have you. As opposed to some judges are limited by statute as to what they can hear. The circuit hears matters involving families and estates. Family court judges hear matters involving children, divorces, custody. County court judges generally are limited to criminal actions, real property transactions. So Supreme Court just means that judge can hear all manner and type of crimes. When we hear of the Supreme Court of the United States, we think of the ultimate arbiter of what does the Constitution mean and what do the laws of the land mean. Doesn't mean the same thing here. Supreme Court justices in New York are trial-level justices elected to 14-year terms, and former Justice Mikulek was recently reelected, I believe, in 2008, if my memory serves me correctly. So he had been a judge for more than 20 years.
Was there any discussion of his pension?
I don't believe so, but that's there were conversations held without me knowing about them.
I would think that in a case like this, the jail sentence is the real hammer, because he's a lawyer, he's a judge, he's a suburban guy, and the alternative is you go behind that slamming door at Attica and with some people you might not like.
It would be a powerful, motivating incentive to someone who is not exposed to the ordinary resident of our state penitentiary system.
Mike, based on what you know on the case, do you have any feeling one way or the other where there should be jail time?
It's not for me to speculate right now. If I knew more facts, I might be able to offer that, but that's, again, If it were my case, I would say I would leave it in the sound discretion of the trial judge, unless it were a negotiated sentence, which for very violent, such as murder, there are times when we will negotiate a sentence of 22 years because that's the family finds, you know, wants closure and it's satisfying. But in this case, I can't. I can't speak to what would be appropriate.
When people hear something like this, I can see how some people would lose their trust in the court system. What would you say to those people?
I would say they would lose their trust in the court system with good reason. You know, because again, by all appearances, this this judge was respected by his peers and other attorneys, and yet we learned today that between, I think it was December of 2012 and February of this year, that there were activities involving behind the scenes unlawful dealings that cut to the integrity of the judicial system.
But you did mention earlier that he could get 7 years.
The question was, what's the exposure on a D nonviolent felony? And it's an indeterminate term with a max of 7 years. So it'd be, three and a third to seven would be the max. But the range could be a conditional discharge, which means no jail as long as you follow these conditions. It could be probation, which is supervision. It could be anything less than that, but the maximum sentence would be up to seven, and it's indeterminate sentence. So there'd be a low end, a range. Again, the maximum range would be 3 1/3 to seven, but it could be 1 to 4. I mean, I'm sorry, 1 1/3 to 4.
You've got two sides of this. One is lawyers and judges saying he's making us all look bad. Throw the book at him, weld the jail door shut. And the other side saying, well, he's lost his job as a judge. He'll be disbarred because it's a felony plea. Let him go. I mean, it's kind of a strange choice.
I think at the time of sentence or between now and then, the public will learn more facts, which might shed some light onto the gravity of the actions and what would be appropriate sentence.
Are you suggesting that these are the two counts that he pled guilty to, but that the investigation uncovered other instances?
I don't know that. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I don't know. There was an agreement that he entered with the Attorney General, in which was not read in court. So I don't know what he is offered to the Attorney General. But
if I could just follow up on the sentencing, any significance you think to the fact that the Attorney General agreed not to make a recommendation on sentencing?
It's my understanding that if the Attorney General is satisfied with the level of cooperation, he will remain silent at the time of sentencing, and that is their agreement. The flip of that would be that if he's unsatisfied with the level of cooperation, he will not remain silent. So I think it's that you got half of it.
Yeah, no, I okay.
This is a mess. I mean, you got to judge. And if you do a survey of the public, a significant percentage of the public thinks all you guys are crooks anyway. So now you got a guy who is. In fact, two, if the other person involved. It's got to be upsetting.
Well, I don't know who your pollster is, so I can't comment on that. You know that, Mike.
Mike, kind of related to his question, should the public look at this and think this is the way things are in the courts all the time, or should they look at this and would you caution them that these are rare instances, or what would your thought be?
Well, my thought is it is a rare instance when someone is caught and prosecuted. As I said before, my office is committed to prosecuting those who violate the public trust. So there are other agencies out there, including ours, who are willing to take up this effort. I can't speak to what else is going on, but the public should know that we in law enforcement are aware of this and will do everything we can to end it.